Well, good morning, everyone. It's an absolute pleasure to come and talk to you this morning on a subject that's close to all our hearts, and that is a balanced life, how we can achieve it. Pam and I have been watching a fair bit lately on the Australian Christian channel, Joel Osteen, and we actually love listening to his sermons and the way he talks and how passionate he is. So this morning I'm going to do something different and start by the same way he starts his church services. This is my Bible. I can do what it says I can do. I have what it says I have. I am what it says I am. Today I will be taught the word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. If I was to say to you, we're going to work a little less and live a little more, I'm sure that's the great Aussie dream. We'd all clap and say, that's exactly what I want to do. Work less, but live more. Not just the Aussie dream, but worldwide, everyone could say that that would be their dream. Well, this morning we're going to talk a little bit about how we can achieve this in a roundabout sort of way. We're going to talk about how we can recharge our batteries and get back on track, get back on living in abundance with Christ. There's a couple of things we're going to highlight, and the first one is habits, the next one is stress, and the next one is time. Because as soon as we wake up of a morning, we start, our stress levels start to rise. With day-to-day commitments, we've got to get the kids to school, we've got to get to work, we've got to pick the kids up, we've got to get home, we've got to cook tea, we've got to prepare lunch. It goes on and on. So as soon as we wake up, our stress rises. So life is chaotic for all of us. No one escapes it. The demands on us has never been greater as a society. Now, I want to use this example. Stress is a little bit like this. You all thought I had my notes in here, didn't you? Well, I didn't. If I hold this bag, the weight of the bag actually doesn't change. But after a few minutes, the bag still gets heavy and I have to put it down. I can have a rest, recharge my batteries, and I'm ready to go on, pick it up again. The weight of the bag hasn't changed, but after a period of time, the bag gets heavy, particularly if you hold it out like that. It doesn't last too long. But life is like that. We need to stop. We weren't given a Sabbath for nothing. It's there for a reason. The problem is we pick up our bags and we start to fill it with stuff. We fill it with so much stuff, and that can be commitments, it can be hurts, it can be grudges, it even can be loneliness. But we hang on to it, and the weight of this starts, if we had a backpack on, we'd be walking around like this. We wouldn't be an example of Christ. It gets so full sometimes that there's no room for God. And that's when we're out of balance. So what I'd like to encourage you to do is when you go home, make a list of things that consume your day. Could even be checking emails. I don't even look at junk mail anymore. I've cut that right out. If someone sends a junk mail, it gets deleted before I open it. Make a list of things that consume your day, and next to them, write down how much time it takes for you to do all those things. You'll be amazed. We need to create time. So delete one or two of them. If you can delete one and save 10 minutes a day, at the end of the month, you're going to find yourself more than 5 hours that you don't have now. That's how easy it is. I made a New Year's resolution, or in fact, I made a resolution last year that I was going to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and go for a walk. I think I've got about an 80% success rate, and it's been easier lately because it's been nice and light in the mornings. But just before Christmas, we went to one of the bookstores, Koorong, and I bought a book that's going to help me walk through the Bible. And my New Year's resolution was simply to find enough time to diligently read God's word every morning. And I must confess, that's something I've struggled with forever, having the time to sit down quietly and read God's word. I've found 20 to 30 minutes of a morning after my walk with a coffee, my time to spend with God. To do that, I had to cut out 30 minutes of sunrise with Koshi. So he's missed out. I used to go for a walk, come home, have breakfast and watch the news, but the news is the same news every day. It's all doom and gloom. So I found 12 hours a month that I didn't have last year simply by changing my habits. Because the greatest motivator for change is found right here in the Bible. There is nothing more motivating than reading this every day and being balanced with our risen Saviour, Lord Jesus. Put good stuff in and good stuff's going to come out. Have a look what it says in John 15:7, or all of 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch that doesn't produce fruit and prunes the branches. That's what we've got to do. We have to go through some gardening exercises and trim what's holding us back. There's many books on how to get a life and how to be successful. When you think of the great resource crisis, you could be forgiven for thinking of oil, minerals, or even food. The main crisis we face here today is time. In the 1950s, experts predicted that the average working week would be 14 hours by 2000. Well, alarm bells are ringing. It's not uncommon to hear of people working 14-hour days now. In 1978, 22% of workers spent more than 40 hours a week on the job. By 2000, 30% were working in excess of 50 hours. Now, if you're in a high-profile job, you can expect to be working around about 60 hours a week. Average couples spend 12 minutes a day having a chat, and parents are spending 40% less time with their children than they did a generation ago. The term quality time is just an excuse for not having enough time. Children and all of us need quantity time. I remember growing up in a family in a war service area in Pascavale South, and Mum, they didn't have a car. They had a black and white telly, but we had time. One of my treats of the year was to go down to Cheltenham to visit my cousin and auntie. So we had to get the Bell Street bus up to the Melville Road tram terminus, the Melville Road tram into the city, and the Flinders Street station, get the train down to Cheltenham. It took about 3 hours, the trip. But that was fantastic. I got home from school, I used to ride the bike everywhere. There's no games to play at home except cricket and footy. I had a ball. We had time. When Dad came home, there was always tea on the table because there was only a single income. Now many households are living in a double income situation. They've got two cars, maybe four or five televisions, all the latest modcoms that go with it. But stress and depression are significant causes to family breakdown in our society. In Australia, there are more than 1,000 registered corporate coaches, one of the fastest growing professions in our society. Stress is costing us more than $200 million a year in workers' compensation. We have to start taking responsibility for our time. The biggest obstacle people face is achieving a work-life balance. Many things can get us out of balance. Bad habits, addiction, even holding on to our hurts can put us out of tune. Our mind is clever. It tries to protect us because it doesn't like us changing. It loves routine. But it also can bring us undone. In 2 Corinthians 13, it says we have to change. It says, change your ways. Encourage each other. Live in harmony and peace. Then, and only then, will the God of love and peace be with you. If we're going to have an impact on people's lives, we have to stand out and be that shining light. Would you please open your Bibles, if they're nearby, to Philippians chapter 4. We read it this morning. Just the first half. It says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see you are considerate in all you do. It says, always be full of joy, not just in the good times and the bad, but also in the bad times. Now, everyone knows me as Eager Beaver. I'm an eager beaver, it goes without saying. But for a couple of seconds now, I just want to talk about a humble little frog. Do you know if you put a frog in a pot of water on the stove and brought it to boil, it would cook like a crayfish. It would just die and cook. But if you boiled a pot of hot water and threw that little frog in, it would jump out. Now, a lot of you, if you look back 20 years ago and looked at some of the stressful situations you're in now, you'd be like that little frog. You'd say, no way, I'm not getting into that. But let's not fall into the trap of that humble little frog and cook in our own stress. I thought that was a good example. Pam and I go to many seminars with our work, and we love to listen to motivational speakers. I think it's so exciting. They inspire us to make a difference in people's lives. They try to bring out the best in people, and they challenge people to have a go. The only thing they do miss out when they talk, of course, is giving all the glory to God. And that's what we're here today, to see the power of God at work in us. One of my favourite books is titled by Brad Huskin, I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD. Now, I love that book because it's encouraging people. You don't need a PhD to succeed or be successful. You don't need a PhD to do God's ministry. We're all in ministry together. And the good news is God has a habit of using people just like me and you. In the Bible, we read of many examples. Look at Moses when he was asked by God, why me? I can't do that. God used him in incredible ways to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Look also at Joseph, how he was treated, but he remained faithful. He was in balance with God, and God blessed him in so many ways. Why? Because it's through ordinary people that God's glory can be revealed. Whoops, did I say ordinary? Aren't we made in God's image? Okay, well, therefore, we are not ordinary people. We are all extraordinary people. We're all special. Average people face average problems. Ordinary people face ordinary problems. Extraordinary people face extraordinary problems. But we serve an extraordinary God. God does not allow big problems to face small people. One of the other characters I met along my journeys was a guy called Tommy O'Toole from Beechworth Bakery. Now, he's a really effervescent sort of character. I've got his video and it's pretty much out there. But what really gets up his nose is when people start walking around, saying, I'm having a bad day, this is going wrong, Ken's asked me to do this, send the manager to put the rent up, I can't do this. He says, stop, try not waking up one morning. Then you got a problem. It means you're dead. It's so much truth in that. Problems are simply an opportunity to learn God's grace and move on. James 1:2, I love this, and I'd like you to turn with me. It's a really important verse. Whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. For when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Isn't that amazing words? Whenever trouble comes your way, consider it joy. So once again, they're talking about joy, not just when things are going great, but when things are going really bad, let's hand it over to God. We don't have to hang on and try and solve it ourselves. I've tried to do that. It never works. It brings you undone every time. And God's got a habit of tapping you on the shoulder when you're not in balance to bring you back. It's like a father and a mother with their children. It's not always going to be Christmas presents. There's going to be some times when there's discipline. What I loved last week was seeing little Nicholas up the front when Stuart was leading us to sing. And I feel a little bit uncomfortable sometimes when we have to start doing, you know, YMCA and all the rest of it. But little Nicholas was out here, and this was a great example because he was dancing away and he was not afraid of what was around. I found that a really uplifting experience, and I started to get into it. But that's how it is. When we go through life and we suffer knocks and setbacks, we pick a bit of that baggage up and shove it in the case, and we start to believe that we're not capable. We start saying, I can't do that. They might laugh at me. Big fizz if they laugh at me. I'd rather them laugh at me than poke, you know, fun at me. That's all right. My challenge to you today and all of us is to leave here with a new sense of purpose in our life. No matter what circumstance we're in, no matter how old we are, we can all change. Have you ever thought about having your own mission statement? It could be something simple like this. I live to glorify God by loving, serving and challenging others to be all they can be and to give it themselves to Jesus Christ. That's pretty simple. But if we woke up in the morning and before we left home we all thought like that, in every contact we make during the day, we can change that people's life simply by listening and being kind to them. It takes the pressure off having to succeed too. So every day, whether at work, whether you're on the golf course, whether you're travelling, we can make a difference. It's my prayer that when people come into contact with me, they'll see God's image. They'll go away saying, what is it about Peter that's different? Doesn't seem to worry him too much. How would it be if you went into business and said, look, God, if you want me to go bankrupt, let it be. As long as what happens, your glory can be seen in me what I'm going through. I'd rather succeed. How would it be if you went to the doctor not worried about what he's going to tell you? I hate going to the doctor. But what about if he did say, you've got this or that? Thank you, Lord. This is a real chance now. People are going to see how powerful you are. It takes the pressure right off the whole situation, doesn't it? If that is your prayer, then you've got a huge responsibility to live according to God's will. As we read in Philippians, James and Ecclesiastes, we have some great advice, and it says it again, always be joyful. There's no excuse. Always be joyful. Do we mirror the image of God? Do we look as if we have the gift of eternal life? Do we look as if we've been forgiven of our sins? Do we look as if we worship the ever-living, miracle-working, all-conquering God? Or do we look like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders and we're trying to solve it all ourselves? I tell you now, be honest and stop in front of the mirror and have a look at what you see. Have a good, long look and be thankful for what you see. Do you see a happy, content, positive, loving, enthusiastic person? Now, sometimes it's hard to be upbeat the whole time, but that's when others come into play. They can build us up again by being kind to us. But if we're going to walk around, you know, look around the shopping centres like this, not smiling, no one's going to be drawn to Christ. But if we look in the mirror and start to feel good about ourselves, put on good clothes, you don't have to spend a lot, start to feel important about yourself, because we are, after all, made in God's image. So we should care about what God has made and let Christ be seen in us. Did you know that 97% of the things we worry about never come true? One thing I'd like to do is talk a little bit about exceeding people's expectations, because that's something we can do as people in the business of God. And to do that, we have to listen. God has given us two sets of ears and one mouth for a reason. We should use them proportionately. The only way we can differentiate ourselves today in most cases is how well we listen, how much empathy we have, or even how sincere we are to other people. Now, to help us listen, I'd like to bring to your attention something that's in our mind. It's called the reticular activating system, RAS. You mightn't have ever heard of it before, but it's a little switch in our brain, and it has the ability to switch off real quick, just like that, real quick. Happened to me a lot at school when the teacher was up there in the front. Used to drift off and want to play cricket or footy. But it can happen even when we're talking to people, mind starts to drift. And that's when you get that gaze look in your eyes. You know, the lights are on but no one's home. Sometimes I say the lights are on but someone's turned the dimmer switch right down too, you know. But that's something we have to train. We have to listen. There's different levels of listening. But we have to listen to people, because there's people come into us a lot just to talk to us, because it's a pressure-filled society. And we can make a huge difference, not just by going around with the Bible preaching, but by listening so people can feel accepted and loved. We live in a society that expects instant results and instant success. We don't like to wait. We can send, after all, an email to the other side of the world and be there in a couple of seconds. We can fly to the other side of the world within 20 hours quite easily. 40 years ago, it would take something like 3 weeks or something on the ship. A couple of decades ago, we'd even have to get a stamp and lick it and put on the letter. Some of the young ones mightn't know how to do that because they had to send text messages. We can buy the latest gadget today only to be outdated next week. That's technology. So we have to be strong and invincible in the corporate world. One company in America seemed to get it right when number 5 on the company's list of key values was to attain and be an example of a work-life balance. Sounds good. Unfortunately, this value was wedged between number 4, go that extra mile to achieve, and number 6, excellent requires sacrifices. These ideals are opposites. We have to start doing things that we've never done before. I truly believe that with the biggest risks comes the biggest rewards. So don't keep going by putting too much pressure on yourselves. It's much better to under-promise and over-deliver than to fail people's expectations. Now, a lot of you, when we talk about success, will have been watching the tennis over the last week. I felt a little bit like one of those ball boys before when Ken was up here. I thought he was going to start pointing for the towel. You know, the other way they walk back, they just look, and then they bring a towel over. I thought I was going to have to do that before, but there was no towel. But success, how often do you see that these athletes playing in extreme conditions can be 2 sets down and you think, my goodness, they've been out there for 3 hours, he's going to have to toss it in. But attitude is everything. They keep going, they break through the pain barrier, and before they know it, it's 2 sets all. They keep going and eventually they can win. Absolutely amazing. Have you ever watched the athletes? How much better is the athlete that wins by 1/100th of a second? Not much better at all. But the results are huge. Could be millions of dollars. But it's the little things that make such a big difference. And we can do the little things here when we leave here today. Even going to the supermarket, we can bring a smile into someone's face. And if we try and do that in every contact with everyone else, we're going to start feeling good about ourselves too. And you're also going to reap the rewards because people want to hang out with you. Because when they hang out with you, they start to feel good. How would you define success? Well, success does not bring happiness, that's for sure. Happiness brings success. Let's have a look at the other half of Philippians. Philippians 4:6. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him. Thank Him for all He has done. If you do this, you're going to experience God's peace. You can't buy God's peace, but it's available free to us, and it's far more wonderful than a human mind can understand. Also, let's have a look quickly at Joshua. Joshua in the first chapter. Study this book of the law continually. Meditate on it day and night, so that you can be sure to obey all that is written. Then, only then, you'll succeed. Such positive words. Success is not what we get out of life. It's what we become. So it's not what we get out of life, it's what we become. We can become better people from all our experiences that we're going through. Attitude is everything. We can start going around saying, why me? It's not fair, they don't like me, I don't fit in, this and that, I can't, I won't, I don't. Rather, happiness is found by having a biblically sound frame of mind. That means being aware of God's purpose in your life. We don't have to do things alone. Attitude is everything. I think you've come of age when you realise that you are here to serve rather than be served. As I said before, one of the most rewarding experiences is being in business. We're all in business. We're all in our own business. We're in God's business. We're in the people business. And we can have a huge impact on people's lives. In whatever work, it doesn't matter what work we're in, we are all in the people business. We need to feel wanted, loved. We even need to feel important sometimes to give us good self-esteem. And we can give this to people in affirmation. Remember what Confucius says. Confucius say, choose a job you love and you'll never have to work a day in your life. So we should love what we're doing. It'll mirror God's image. We can start smiling. Have a listen to this. Do you realise there is nothing here on earth you have to do but die? You didn't have to come to church today. You don't have to pay your taxes. You don't have to obey the traffic laws. It's about choices. We choose to do this. There's consequences if we don't. But take the pressure off yourself by saying, I have to do this, I have to do that. Take a stock take of your life and choose the things you need to do in accordance with God's will in your life. Life is about choices. No one can make you do anything. Isn't it awful when you hear people say, they made me mad? Or if someone cuts you off in the car, that rotten, it makes you mad. He didn't make you mad. You made you mad. You made yourself mad by letting him influence your life. You don't have to. Start to think differently. If you do this, you'll be able to mirror the image of God. Learn to speak differently, like in James 4:13. Be positive towards people. The other thing I saw on the Australian Christian Channel was someone giving a sermon on the junk in the trunk. Now, obviously, he was American, saying the junk in the trunk. We'd say the stuff in the boot. But, I mean, what it was a great example. He was in a car yard. Now, I love going to the motor show. I love cars. I love going to new cars. I love the smell of new cars. And he was doing just that. It really got me interested because Cameron and I, we love going there together and looking at these cars and getting in and smelling them. But what was interesting was when they pushed the button and the trunk opened or the boot popped up, it was full of rubbish. And I thought, what a great example, because our lives can be like that. We can put on our good suits. We can start to smell nice and all the mirror images of good. But if we haven't dealt with the junk and stuff in our lives that holds us back, we're not really going to be of good value, are we? The other thing, just as we come to a close, is talking about habits. We touched on it before. But habits come in the form of behaviour, thinking, feelings or perceptions. They lie just below the surface, under our level of awareness, and certainly they impact our daily lives. There's good habits and bad habits. It usually takes about 6 weeks to get into a habit, and I'm into a habit of walking every morning. If I don't walk, I start to feel bad. It's a good habit, but boy, it was hard getting into a habit because I'm, in the past, found it hard to get out of bed. Changing habits is difficult because our brain is constantly monitoring inbound information and trying to protect us from having to make a change. Our brain can be our worst enemy. It'll send messages to us that'll drive us back into our comfort zone time and time again. So we have to fight that. It's the fear of change that encourages our brain to send warning signals back to us. But remember this, praise brings change, and that's what God wants to do, change. Start to hand praise out in the bucket loads and see what happens to you in return. Treat others how you like to be treated and watch what happens. Now, just as we come to a close, start to think this, which emotion consumes most of your day? Which emotion consumes your thinking most of the day? Is it anger? Is it addiction? Is it stress? Is it past hurts? Is it work that's weighing you down? Or are you consumed with God's presence in your life, trying to be a better person? Do you know, God doesn't just want us to survive. He wants us to thrive. When others are going under, He wants us to go over. Through life, we're going to face many obstacles. Job loss, recession, sickness, death of a loved one. They're going to need us to survive and get through. But what He wants us to do is move on. Learn from what happened, like what James 1:2 says. We don't have to stay in survival mode. We can go on and thrive. God wants us to. You know, in heaven there's no recession. There's no stock market that can crash. It's a thriving, positive place. God is not limited by our economy. He's only limited by our thinking. We're not supposed to break even. We're supposed to break through. Faith is believing without seeing. You know, so when you are in people's presence, people are going to see God's blessing on your life and you'll be a blessing to others. We are too blessed to be stressed. Are you willing to let go of the things that have got you out of balance? Are you willing to let God rule your life? Do you really want to be a blessing to those you meet? If you have said yes, if you do, congratulations, because you've just put on a thriving mentality. You will never think the same, and you can look forward to the best years in your life. Amen.